Welcome to another episode of Talking Pylons. I am your host, Mike Napolitano. We've had a busy week here. Just to recap it real quick. Friday, we went to the U of I outdoor game in Rosemont. The whole podcast crew was there. We got some pictures. It was a great game.
I was also told by three separate people that in a picture that we took on Friday, I looked like a proud dad. So, you know what? I'll take it. I think I looked pretty damn good.
Saturday, I went to the Hawks game. I'll get more into that later when we get into our NHL talk. That was awesome. Awesome seats. Kind of a last-minute decision. And then last night, I went to my buddy Rob's Men's League game. So three games in 3 days for me. But let's send it over to my co-host, Jake Ratner. How was your week? What have you been up to?
Pretty good week. I mean, just a lot of family stuff going on. Been moving my brother as he leaves today over to Europe. And just pretty busy week, you know, working and helping him out.
Absolutely. We were at the going away party Friday after a small group of mine ventured over to a haunted house. I'll save that for the voodoo podcast, though. So in the meantime, we'll go over to Hannah. Hannah, how was your week? What have you been up to?
Pretty good. Lots of hockey over the last few days. So it's been exciting. It's been a whirlwind. Honestly, just took the weekend off and like didn't talk to anybody, locked myself up in my room and read and like worked on my own stuff, but it was a lot. So it was good.
Awesome. And we have a fourth member here, our interview today. I'm going to hand it over to Jake Ratner so that he can introduce our latest guest.
We are welcoming a very special guest, Ron Dog, Ron Brady, Ronnie Steesman Sinner. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Love that intro, man.
Yeah. Anything for you, of course.
Appreciate it.
So Ronnie, we've met once, but I don't know much about you. Where did you, where and when did you get your start in hockey?
I think I started skating when I was 3-4 years old, maybe here in Sweden. They run on Saturdays, they run like a camp. You could call it a camp, like to teach how to skate and stuff for like 2 hours, 1-2 hours. And then you just move up the ladder, move up the system. That's just how it works here. So it's been a while. It's been a while.
I did bury the lead. Yes, you are in Sweden, and you are our first international guest we've got coming on. I wore the S for Sweden for you, of course.
That's dope.
For other reasons too, but we'll get into that in NHL talk. But you came over and you played with Rat's brother in the NA3. So what was that experience like?
It was fun. It was different. I mean, I played with him my second year in the US. It was a bit of a culture shock, how it worked, the different style play. I mean, even though it was just juniors, it was way different from juniors here. But it was fun, you know, met a lot of great people, a lot of different people that I never thought I was going to meet in my life. But it was the best thing I've ever done, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just about to ask you, how is the U.S. and U.S. hockey specifically different from Sweden?
I mean, it's more in the U.S. or the North American style. It's more like north to south type of hockey. You go like more like crash in the net. You know, it's more direct. I don't know how to explain it really, but in Sweden, it's more open spaces. If you don't like the opportunities that you're giving at first, you know, they pass it back, you know, back to your own zone, and they bring it up again, trying to get a better breakaway and not breakaway, but a new entry to the zone, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So yeah, it's a lot different. Yeah.
Do you have, we won't slander anybody. We actually have not had Ben on the podcast yet, but we were expecting to get him on once he makes the move to Belgium. I know they're leaving today, actually, as we speak. Do you have any fun stories from your playing career with him or even back in Sweden when you were playing there?
There's so many stories with Ben. A lot of them are classified. but I mean, my first impression of Ben, he was like this big kid, right? He was just like trying to get in shape. So I think it was like my first or second weekend I was there. We were playing Peoria, and Ben was on the fourth line. You know, he was barely getting any minutes. And I was like scratched because I haven't got, my transfer wasn't complete. So I was standing there with our captain, and I was like, we saw Ben had a fight, like a huge tilly. And I was like, oh, Ben's going to score a goal. Ben's going to score a goal. And then he scored an open net, like an empty net at the end of the game. And like, he just took off for the rest of the season. It was crazy to see like that big tilly, you know, he knocked this guy out, score a goal. And then, you know, he got his opportunities for the rest of the season. Scored like 90 points. I don't know what he scored, 80, 90. It was nuts.
Kind of like this guy over here on the video. He's going to be over here.
Yeah. I started out getting scratched a lot and on fourth line, not getting a lot of minutes, but I eventually got out of my bubble. And me and Ben have very similar lives when it comes to junior hockey, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun, you know, like I haven't seen you play like since you were like a little kid. Yeah, I mean, then there's like awesome stories, you know, like rookie dinners, you dressing up as a nurse, like it's images you can't get out of your head, you know, even though you try to, but yeah, it's fun. It was fun. We had a lot of battles, a lot of fights. We pissed each other off a lot, but yeah, we're rock solid today.
This wasn't in the interview, but I do have to ask, how much money do you owe Ben for Madden?
Oh, like a shit ton. I don't know. He has the number. I think it's a lot of G's for sure.
Oh my god. Yeah. I was gonna say I just hit a roadblock though. I was gonna say something about I can't even remember what I was gonna ask you. It was before the Madden thing. It was what were we talking about? Fourth line. It wasn't one of the ones we hit in the question bank here, so I'll remember and I'll get back to it. But so I mentioned Ben and Liv are actually moving to Belgium as we speak, so they won't be too far from you. So how far is the flight or drive or even the boat trip? Will you all meet like halfway in like Netherlands or Germany or Denmark somewhere and get to see them while they're out there?
I don't know how far it is. I'm guessing a 2-hour flight. It can't be more than 2 hours. But yeah, drive, I don't know, probably like 16 hours probably. But I ain't meeting them halfway anyway. I've been over to them like a lot of time. And now it's their turn to visit me. So yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that'd be so cool. I know Rat is talking. Well, this Rat, I know that, but they're both rats. But we mostly hang out with Jake, so we just call him Rat. But Jake has been talking about getting over there to visit them, and then I assume that it would mean a trip over to Sweden as well if we could. So that'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
In Sweden, do you guys follow any? Or you specifically, do you follow any particular NHL team, or do you guys focus more on players, or what kind of NHL culture is out there?
I mean, it's different. I mean, from guy to guy. Like I grew up being a Rangers fan. Just love the city from watching movies and stuff when I was like a little kid. Some people like don't have a favorite team. Some people like are passive fans, some are hardcore fans. So I mean, it's different, but you know, it's the top league in the world. So, everybody's following it. Now, it's like every game, they show every game. Now, when I was growing up, they didn't, it was kind of hard to watch a game, which is crazy because it was like only like 2005, 2007, and they didn't even show like a lot of games. And it's, so it changed a lot. Now you can see like every single minute of NHL hockey here.
Yeah, we know a little bit of,
which is good.
We know a little bit of what that's like being Hawks fans over here, because for the longest time the Blackhawks weren't even televised locally, you know. So
yeah, because they sucked, right?
Well, there was that, and a lot of the reason they sucked was because they weren't putting the butts in the seats, because nobody knew that they existed because they weren't on TV, and the old management just had an old world way of thinking and stuff like that. So I can imagine if it wasn't televised here, it definitely wasn't televised in Sweden. So how would you guys know what the Blackhawks are, you know?
Right. You know, like, I didn't even know, like, that they had their, like, bad era, you know, before they drafted Kane, Taves, with that management. Because, like, I don't know, it just felt like you just remember, like, when you think about Chicago, you only picture Kane, Taves, like, 2006, 2007, not what happened before that, you know.
Right. Yeah, I did remember what I wanted to ask was that when you had brought up the rookie dinner pictures of Ben, if you have any of those and you want to slander him, he's going to get his chance on the podcast probably a couple weeks, maybe a couple months down the line, like I said. So he'll get a chance to respond. But, you know, if you wanted to throw any of those in, I know Rat over here has his pictures from his rookie dinner. I don't know if we should throw those in here. Oh, he's shaking.
Any pot.
Oh yeah, I love that. Sure. Oh yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's good. That's awesome. We'll throw that up in here, and Ben will be able to see it after the fact, so he'll get to respond. He'll get to clap back. But what kinds of things do you do for fun outside of hockey where you are in Sweden? What's the culture like? And I assume you guys mostly speak English, but are there any other languages and activities that you guys do?
Yeah. So like outside of like on a free time, I play in summer. I play a lot of golf. Now during the winter, there's not like a lot of stuff to do this year. I haven't been playing, so it's mostly been work and working out. So me living in a small town doesn't help. Not a lot of activities. But I do like to play a lot of tennis. I enjoy it. And when it comes to like language and stuff, before high school, I don't know what you call it in English, you get to learn like German, Spanish, French, like you can take like different classes. And then when you enter high school, you can like continue to learn and like earn some extra credits. So a lot of Swedes are speaking like three languages. It's pretty common.
Which ones did you elect to take? What can you speak?
I chose German. Okay. Yeah, I have a lot of relatives in Germany. That's why I chose it. Unfortunately, I forgot 50% of it. So it's it was probably not the best choice today. I haven't been getting used. I haven't used it a lot. So kind of waste of time, but.
You had to get maybe those school credits in, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. You need it for college, right?
Yeah. That's what it was for.
Yeah. 100%.
Don't worry. I've forgotten most of my Spanish, and I have way more opportunities to probably use it, and I still don't. So you're not alone in that boat. Yeah. What small town are you in specifically? Because I know it's Sweden, but I don't know where exactly you're at.
It's called Avesta. It's about 1 hour, 45 minutes from Stockholm. So it's close to bigger cities. But yeah, so you just stay here for the most part of it, just working.
That's cool. You guys, I had shown Rat a video on Instagram of the Swedish Elite League, and the crowd was like going wild. And then I guess he sent it to you. And you said that was a big rivalry game. So you guys have the Swedish Elite League. So what's the atmosphere like for that? And is it always that electric going in there?
That game was the second division.
Second division. Okay.
Yeah. So like one of those teams, like both of those teams are from Stockholm, big rivalries. like Djurgården and AIK. Djurgården fell out of the Swedish Elite League last season. So that's why they play together, because AIK sucks. So it's a big rivalry going, like, in soccer too. Like, it's hatred. It's hatred for each other. It's fans beat each other up because you cheer for all, like, it's hooligans. It's a different hockey culture. It's a different culture when it comes to fans here. But the Swedish Elite League, I don't watch a lot of Swedish hockey because I think it's boring, to be honest. Like, it's a boring style of hockey. They shoot like 20 shots per team every game. I mean, it's, as a goalie, it's no fun to watch, you know? Not a lot of action. So I can't speak that much on the atmosphere, how that is today. But it's not like that. It's not like that game. That's not common. It's only when those two teams play.
Gotcha. Did you, you said you, there's a lot of soccer that goes on in Sweden too. Did you play soccer growing up at all?
Yeah. I quit when I was like 12, 13. Then I got into refereeing soccer instead. I just like playing hockey and golf more. So I just switched. I just quit playing soccer.
Gotcha. I'm in the same boat. I played soccer growing up. I played a little longer. I went through high school and even a couple men's leagues now. But and then I reffed as well. Reffing was so much fun. But yeah,
it's a fun sport.
Hockey, I definitely love hockey as a community and as a sport. A little bit more. But my golf game, terrible. You can ask Rat. I'm not joining you on that one. I'll come out to the links with you. But
from what I remember from last year from Ronnie, it's not much worse than his. I mean, like, not to throw shoot fire at you, but you know, Ronnie wasn't the best last year. You know, I don't know how good he's gotten now. He's probably played a lot.
You judge me of one game, not playing the entire winter, and I'm using Ben's club. All right. I see how it goes.
Hey, it looks like we're not allowed to come to Sweden now. You've upset the man.
Me and Ryan are gonna play. We're gonna throw some money on it.
I don't know. My score speaks for itself.
Yeah, what's your score? What's your average now?
Like 80, probably. 80? I mean, it's decent. I mean, it's not good. It's not bad either. Huh?
What's par there?
It depends on the course, but okay. Most common 72.
Okay. All right, well, damn. We'll have to see when we play next. You know, we got to throw some money on it. Then you'll be in some major debt with two Ratners.
Yeah. You know, that is the seventh wonder of the world, you know?
Yeah.
My score is 80,000. Yeah.
So yeah. His score is 80, but it's only on the front nine.
Yeah. There you go.
Being
yeah.
There.
Yeah. I had one more for you. I just wanted to apologize about the 8-7 World Juniors third place match where USA beat Sweden.
I didn't watch it.
It was a good tournament this year, but yeah, we definitely took down Sweden. It was everybody knew Canada was going to take away the gold. I think there was no doubt. So Canada beat you guys on the way to their medal, and they beat us as well. So yeah, we're both in the loser pit. Third, but we'll take third place. So I guess that's fine.
Yeah,
I won't say anything. But if Team Russia played, they probably would have been head to head with Canada. So.
That's true. Yeah, we got the Russian on the podcast.
Oh,
they're, yeah, she's well, I'll let you tell him.
Well, my parents are from the Soviet Union, but they're from the part of Ukraine that was always more of the Russian culture, so we're Russian.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I get it.
What are the differences between the two? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot, but you guys aren't probably too far originally from each other, from that part of the Ukraine, from Sweden.
No.
We're far. We're pretty far. I would say.
Sort of.
We're northern. Yeah, we're northern Europe.
Ukraine.
They're
is
eastern.
Like, yeah. Gotcha, southeast of Russia, I think.
Which one of you guys has skiing and snowboarding? Because then I'm there.
I think it's more Sweden. Russia has some, but I don't think it's don't know.
Yeah, we have pretty good, we have like popular places up here, pretty close to me, like 3 hours north from me. Really popular places. It's not like mountains, but you know, it's definitely big. I guess you call it a mountain. I don't know. It's but they have like popular ski resorts here.
All right, I'm on my way. I'm gonna go pack my bags right now.
Yeah, good places. Good places to party too.
Ooh, all right, I like it. I like what you're thinking. That's all I've got as far as quick. Rat, I know you know you guys know each other, but did you want to ask him anything else as far as hockey goes or life in Sweden?
Yeah, I mean, I do have one question. I mean, I know you've been, I don't know where you've been in America. I know you've been to New York and Chicago. I heard a couple stories in New York from Ben that cannot be shared, so I won't share them. But what is your favorite state? And like, where's your favorite place to visit in America?
Oof. That's a tough one.
I mean, like, minus all the people, you know, like if me and Ben didn't live here, like.
Yeah, just to visit.
Yeah.
It's got to be Chicago still, though. I mean, it's a great city. I don't know. It's so like an open-minded place. Like, it's the impression I got from it. I mean, New York's dope. But Chicago is, I love it. I love Chicago. Wisconsin is fun to go to. I haven't been in Texas forever, but I still have good memories from there. But I still got to rank Chicago the highest, I think. So. Well, I mean, yeah, just to clear up, I don't think Chicago's a state because you asked what state, but.
But yeah, you know what
I mean. Yeah, for sure.
But That's cool. I mean, I know you're big. You like football. I know you're a big Bears fan. Bear down.
Oh, bear down.
I gotta ask you at least one football question. What are we thinking with the Bears for next year?
I think we're looking good. I mean, you got the cap space from Khalil Mack is gone. I think, right? Yeah. They only carried it for this year.
Yep.
They're looking good. I mean, number one pick. A lot of chatter about trading Fields and drafting what was that guy named Barry, whatever, the quarterback. I mean, yeah, but I like it. Bears are up and coming. I mean, Fields is electric. So it's fun to watch. Finally a good GM and a good coach, what it seems like.
Absolutely. So, bear down.
Yeah, bear down. Super Bowl bound. Telling you,
we don't
right
get
now.
It. We don't get enough of that good management here in Chicago. So it's hopefully nice to see that, you know, they're turning things around when they build. It sounds like, I don't know if it's going underway yet, but it sounds like the Bears are moving out here to Arlington Heights, not too far from where you visit us here in Schaumburg, basically. So when that happens, it'll be 2026. So Ben might actually be back, right? I would imagine.
Yeah, Ben will be back. He comes back January of 2025.
So Ronnie, you'll have to, I mean, you could come here in the meantime, like you said, but you'll have to come back, come see the new stadium and cheer on the Bears and hopefully see a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I'm just pissed that they're tearing down the racetrack.
Yeah. That's been closed now for what, like 2-3 years, ever since COVID, really.
Wow, that's a shame.
I think it reopened for one summer after COVID, but then that was the last summer.
Damn, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. I want to say it was 2021, summer of 2021, because that was the one and only time I had been. And I was like, before going there, I was skeptical. I was like, are they really going to be able to put the Bears here? Like, it's such a big area. But then you look at the grounds and there's so much space. So the spacing is not an issue. Travel is not an issue. But it's just going to be, like you said, tearing down that beautiful grounds. That's going to be a shame. But they'll build a brand new stadium and it'll have a dome. We can host the Super Bowl. So that's
okay. Right. And they're going to be in it.
Yeah. Yes. All right.
I think with that, downtown Arlington Heights is going to become a lot more popular for visitors too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I think that highway, I think 53 is going to be just packed though on Sunday.
Yeah, packed all the time.
It's going to be, I mean, it's going to be like, it's going to be cool to have that near, but like I take that highway all the time to go to hockey practice and bowling and men's league games. Like it's just, I'm going to always be taking the highway. I'm going to have to find an alternative route, I guess.
I mean, that's my daily route for class for literally anywhere I'm going down 53. And going down back roads is going to double my commute, like twice, double my commute. Yeah, obviously.
Yep.
Yeah. But that's about all I got. Ronnie, did you mention, were you the goalie? I don't know if I know.
Yeah, I was the goalie.
I thought you were, but when you had mentioned watching Swedish Elite League as a goalie, I was like, oh, yeah, he was in between the posts. So you're our, I think you're the third goalie that we've had on the podcast, and the other two are not that crazy either. So you're breaking the stigma here. You're also pretty normal guy.
Yeah, I keep telling people it's not us that's like crazy. It's the skaters. They're stupid. like people don't realize it, but we have like superstition stuff like that. But we're blocking shots with pads. They're blocking shots with like I don't know like. Cardboard. It's stupid.
I don't know. Goalies are still crazy. I'm always gonna stick by that. I was goalie, so I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah, you play like goal with you was like 12. Yeah.
15. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 15. Technically, you're the fourth goalie we've had on here because Rat played a little bit in net. So, and Rat is crazy. So. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And Charlie Board is a little crazy. Those are our two captains for the upcoming SHL game. And then when it comes to Drew, Drew's not crazy and Ronnie's not crazy. So I don't get it. It's inconsistent here. Do you have any superstitions or things you like to do before games, though?
I mean, I wouldn't call it superstitions. I would call it routines. I mean, it's not like I'm doing the same thing. When I played, I was doing the same thing, like, I get to the rink at a certain time. I go over my gear, like at a certain time, warm up off ice at a certain time. So I'm getting ready at a certain time. That's just about it. The craziest superstition, maybe I always start getting dressed on my left side, like with the skates and pads, probably. And I step on the ice with my left skate first. That's about it, probably, like, the biggest superstition. I mean, I wouldn't care, like, if I didn't do it, but I just always do it.
Are you left-handed?
No, I'm righty. Right-footed and right-handed. Do you catch
with your left?
What was that?
Do you catch with your left?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
That's normal, yeah.
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 I feel like that superstition with putting the left side on first and getting on the ice, stepping on the ice with the left side is, I feel like that's pretty normal for a righty person or a righty dominant person. I feel like I did that for a while and I got to a point where I was like, I forgot about it for a couple games and I just like it didn't change how I played. So I just stopped caring if I did it or not, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's stuff like that don't matter. It's right. You just do it because you know it helps you to just be prepared.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Are you still playing in men's leagues or anywhere out there, or have you hung up the skates?
I haven't. I feel like I'm never gonna play men's league. I just feel like it's I love the sport, but I don't love it that much. If I'm gonna do it, I wanna like play somewhat serious. And yeah, this year I couldn't find a team cause I had shitty stats. So I haven't quit officially, but you know, turning 28 next season might be time to do something else. So we'll see what's going to happen. Depends. I don't know. Might go to Belgium and play with Ben. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I told Ben to find a pro league out there. If he does that, I'll come out and play. And if you could get there too, that'd be elite. All three of us on the same team.
Yeah, we'd be shredding it up.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't sure if Ben was serious about that because for a while there, he was saying that he wasn't going to play out there. And I still don't know if he is serious, but at his going away party, he said that he was continuing his pro career out there. I was like, all right, do it. Jake and I will be over. Jake will be playing. I'll be watching.
What does he mean, continue? It never even started.
Semi-pro.
Yeah, he never played past juniors. So what are you talking about?
But yeah,
I think that's all we got, unless you guys got anything else.
No, thank you so much for jumping on, and we'll have to have you back on in person, whether that's you coming here or us coming out to see you.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me on. We'll set something up. I'm definitely coming to Chicago. Don't know when, but definitely at some point.
Awesome. If Ben's in Belgium when you do that, you got a place to stay here, of course, anytime you want.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Is Mr. and Mrs. Radner okay with that too?
Yeah, they'll be fine with it. They like you.
Dope.
Sweet. All right, buddy. Thank you again.
Toilet again.
Oh, I did hear about that story. Oh my god,
we still have the hole in the basement ceiling from that.
Yeah, that was funny.
Roddy, should we tell that one before you go?
yeah go ahead, tell a story before you get going.
So I had a bit of a mishap at the toilet, and it got clogged, and then Ben was like, flush it or whatever he did. I don't know exactly what he said, but we did something, and he was the one who flushed it at like the very end when it got fucked. So it ran over, and we wiped it up from the floor. Then we're just sitting there, and we hear something dripping. And then it caused some water damage in the ceiling between the first floor and the basement. So they had to cut it out, the ceiling, get the water out.
Yeah, we still have that hole, and it's always gonna be remembered. Ronnie left his in the other household.
That's insane. Ben always gotta mess something up, you know.
Oh man, I love that. It's so funny.
Oh yeah. I had never been that scared of your dad in my entire life. I didn't know if he was going to be mad or not. And I was feeling guilty.
Yeah, no,
but he was cool with it.
Yeah. But that's cool with all that.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Don't break any toilets though when you come back. And we won't return the favor at all when we go to Sweden.
No, you can't break these toilets. They're rock solid.
Okay.
Oh man.
All right. Well, thank you, buddy. We're gonna get into some NHL talk. You're welcome to stay for it, but I know you've got work coming up probably pretty soon. What time is it over by you? It's
6:40 p.m. and I got off work for like about 12 hours ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, it's 11:40 here, so 7-hour difference. But like I said, you're welcome to stay on. We have a lot of NHL news that we're covering, and
I have no clue what's going on in the NHL, so I cannot contribute.
No problem. But thank you again for jumping on, and like I said, we'll have to reconvene at some time, and then we'll send you. You'll get to see when Ben gets his episode, and if he has anything to say about you when he has to respond.
Oh yeah, only positive things. I'm sure, you know.
Yeah, nothing about broken toilets or any of the pictures that you send us or nothing like that. Yeah.
No, he got nothing on me.
Except for maybe that Madden money.
True.
Yeah, but between us, he's never going to get it.
We won't tell him. We won't tell him.
No, good.
All right. Well, thank you, buddy. Good to see you again.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice to see you guys too.
Yeah, it's good seeing you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too, Hannah. All right. Take care. Right,
thanks, buddy. Yep. See ya.
See you later, man. Yeah.
What a legend, eh?
Ron Brady, man. What a guy. He's something else. Every time I feel like every time I talk to him or he's in town, it's always it's always just me laughing forever. And it's just like he's so funny. Like, and I don't know if he means to be that funny. It just happens, but he's such a funny guy. He's a character, and he always lightens up the room no matter what.
I think it's how like you said, how he comes off, and then also a little bit of the accent too, because I mean, not I'm not saying the accent's funny. I just think it's, you know, how he tells stories and stuff like that. And then you hear the accent with it. And just sometimes people's like when you go to like Boston or something like that and they say WADA, like it's just a funny way of saying stuff. So, but no, awesome guy. Really, really cool personality. Yeah. But this past weekend, we'll jump back right into it. This past weekend, we went to the U of I outdoor game against University of Iowa, U of I versus U of I. Out at the Rosemont Parkway Bank Park ice skating rink. And unfortunately, U of I did not get the win. We had a couple buddies on that team. They lost 5-0. So a little bit of a beatdown, but we were all there, podcast group, and I'll let you guys take it away with what you guys thought. I thought it was a really cool venue, and I'd like to see more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, I've never played an ice game out there. Would really want to. I mean, it's kind of too late for that for me now, but it was pretty cool. I mean, yeah, they lost 5-0, but I think it was all about the experience. I mean, we had one buddy that played, one buddy that wasn't playing. He was going through a sickness and fortunately wasn't able to get onto the ice, but I had a couple buddies that I played with in the past that were out there, and I even had one buddy on University of Iowa. I mean, I didn't talk to him at all. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he saw me there or not, but I wasn't too crazy about going over there and trying to get his attention. I don't know what was going through his head at that time, but yeah, no,
with the enemy.
Right. Yeah. No, it was fun to see, and it was a cool thing that they did.
Hannah, was that your first outdoor game?
I'll agree. I feel like it was the battle of the Yes. So that was really exciting for me. I honestly thought that it would be a bigger deal in terms of like fans and how many people were there, but the turnout was great for, I mean, a Friday afternoon. I would agree, it's so great. And like, it could really bring the community together. I think the Chicago Wolves really need to utilize that aside from just like putting their banners on the boards and maybe do something with it, like announce that they're having an outdoor practice there, or I don't know, get an outdoor game or a scrimmage or something.
I'm not laughing at what you said. I'm laughing at, and I think it's happening on Rat's computer too, because he's hearing it too. I don't know if it's your connection. I'm pretty sure we got all of that, but I'm not sure how it's going to sound in the post-production when we edit it down. I heard the part about the Chicago Wolves having like the boards and the practices out there, but you were like, frozen and like glitching, but yeah, so it was happening. You're better now.
Okay. You were glitching a few minutes ago and I wasn't sure if it was on my end or on your end, so it's got to be something on my end. We just got a new router. It's supposed to be super great with internet speed, and it's clearly not living up to its expectations.
All right, well, I'm gonna blame it on you then.
For sure.
But yeah, so your first outdoor game, probably a little bit colder than you're used to, but I thought you were enjoying it, weren't you?
Siberian blood in me, it's fine.
Oh yeah, there you go. But Saturday I continued my hockey quest with going to the Blackhawks game, so we're gonna get into that, but yeah, we have a lot of NHL news to cover first. First thing that happened this past week in hockey was the Brad Marchand goal against the Sharks. Holy cow. Yeah, the Bruins are unstoppable, and we have more Bruins notes to get to in just a second, but wow, that was, did either of you catch this goal, and what can you say about that one?
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, Brad Marchand's sick and all, but no, I'm just kidding. Brad Marchand, he's a good player, and the Bruins are on a tear. I'm not a big Marchand fan. I'm not a big Bruins fan. I mean, you guys know that, but it was a sick goal. I mean, he went coast to coast and walked a couple guys. I'm couple, probably walked four or all of the guys on the Sharks and ended up on his backhand and kind of just squeezed that puck through. I don't remember who the goalie was. Was it still Martin Jones or was in that? But it was a pretty solid goal. I mean, he's utilizing his backhand. I'll give him props.
Yeah. Did you catch it, Hannah?
No.
Oh, okay. he walked through like four Sharks players, which I know nowadays is not that hard to do because the Sharks aren't very good, but yeah. Still phenomenal goal. And I'm surprised, Rat, that you don't like Brad Marchand because you guys share the same nickname and, you know, the Rat.
Yeah, but he's not the Rat. He is a Rat, but I'm not a Rat. I'm the Rat, you know.
No, I get it.
I'm the actual Rat.
Me, I just don't trust anybody with a nose bigger than mine. So for Brad Marchand, it's a no-go. Like how is your nose bigger than mine? That's a problem.
I just kind of get rattled. They just starts licking other people's faces.
Yeah, you could go with that too. That's not good. Yeah, probably don't do that. He just thought he was Chiellini, you know, the soccer player, just biting people's, I don't know, ears, faces, noses. Yeah, whatever. Or Mike Tyson. That's a better reference. Yeah. But so including West Coast happenings, Zegras, he and his tendy were messing around in warmups, which was funny to see. That was kind of interesting. You don't typically see the goalies interacting too much with the players during warmups. They kind of are on their own wavelength, their own spectrum, and they're just getting in net, taking some shots. But the two of them were messing around. But later that game, they did play Boston in that one too. Zegras was upset with Trent Frederick. Even after Zegras scored a goal, it sounded like he was like, it looked like he was chirping at him. So some words being exchanged here and there with the both of them. I don't know if you guys had anything to add for this one. It was kind of weird to see, especially our Zegras expert over here, Jake Ratner.
Yeah, I mean, Zegras with his goalie, John Gibson, he did it with in warmups. They're pretty good friends. I mean, I've seen a lot of videos. I read a lot of articles on Zegras. I mean, of course, he's one of my favorite players right now. But he's really good friends with John Gibson. And doing that during warmups, I mean, it is odd because I feel like not a lot of players, you know, interact with their goalies, like you said, in warmups before games. But he decided to do some puck tricks and ended up landing on Gibson pads. And it was pretty sick what he did. I mean, I love Zegras. Everything about sick.
Yeah. Not to move on for Hannah, did you have anything to add for that one?
I've been so behind on West Coast hockey. It's a different time zone. I don't stay up that late. I can't figure it out.
She can be our Central and our East Coast expert, and we're going to get into that in just a little bit. But something that I thought was cool, it's coming out of the Slovakian U16 Men's League. The points per game totals for, if anybody knows, Juraj Slafkovský, he was the first overall pick for the Montreal Canadiens this past year. When he played in this league, his points per game average was 2.34. Somebody's passing him up with a 3.10 points per game average. And it's a female. And her name is Nella, I'm going to butcher this, Lapusanova. That sounds oddly Italian.
The last name is pretty close, I feel like. But I think her first name is Nila.
Nila. So, I mean, this is just phenomenal to see. She even scored a Michigan. We'll post the video for that one as well. So to be posting better numbers in this league than a first overall NHL pick, I mean, how is this even possible? This is awesome. This is a win for the women, of course, too. So Hannah, we'll jump it over to you. You're definitely the expert in this category.
It looked really cool. I mean, she pulled it off, and I think she's, 14?
Yeah.
Playing in the U18 Women's World Championship.
Yeah.
That was crazy. I mean, these girls are 14 and 18 is so different developmentally for a girl. I mean, for guys too, but at 14, you're like a girl. And then at 18, obviously you're in the body of a woman. So to be able to pull that off, that's crazy. And she definitely has a bright future ahead of her. And I just, and this is one of those cases where I wish that women's hockey gets more recognition and that we're able to grow the game and get them on bigger stages, because she totally deserves that.
Yeah, I don't think I was coordinated enough to pick my nose at 14. So, I mean, this is kind of it's kind of crazy that this girl's posting these kind of numbers, and good for her, man. I mean, that's awesome. But unfortunately, we also had some news. I'm going to pull it up real quick right here. There was a player. Let me see if I can. It was under ESPN, and I did not have this one in the notes, but I just saw it this morning. So I wanted to go over it. Well, the one I have saved is the basketball player. There was a basketball player from Alabama, forward Darius Miles, charged with capital murder after a shooting. Needless to say, he's no longer with the team. So that was interesting. I wonder if TSN posted. I think I had sent you, Hannah, the there was a tweet or like a Twitter thread of some fan calling out the Kalamazoo Wings for their I don't know what the proper term is for this night. It wasn't a diversity night. It was
Pride night.
Yeah,
because their logo was changed to the Pride flag, but I'm pretty sure it was one of their players, which makes the situation even worse, because I read something last night. If I can find it.
I thought the one Twitter account I thought was a fan jumping in, and they just cooked him in the comments. Like, they just shut him down. But then there was also a tweet from, I think that was what I was trying to find, was from the player. Did I screenshot it? I hope I did. I hope I was smart enough. Nope, I was not.
I mean, if you just search them up on Twitter, there's 410 tweets just today. There's something. Yeah, I think that, if I'm not mistaken, Kalamazoo is a southern city. Kalamazoo is.
Is it Michigan? I thought it was Michigan.
Oh, no, Michigan. Actually.
Kalamazoo is it? Yeah.
I really don't think that they're in Michigan.
I really do, because I went on a tournament there a couple of years ago, and it was in Michigan.
Hang on.
It's kind of by Grand Rapids.
Oh, you're so right. They are in Michigan.
Yeah.
They are in Michigan. But there's people on Twitter now fans saying that as long as you have this as your logo, you won't be seeing my family at any games.
That was I'm looking at that right now. That was the tweet from the fan.
Yes.
And then this guy, Adam Herman, he's verified on Twitter, but I don't know. I don't trust these blue check marks anymore, because anybody can have them. But this guy said, hey, Davey, I just donated $35 to the Justin Verlander's number to the Trinity Place shelter, which houses LGBTQ youth in New York City. I made sure to note that it was in your honor. thanks for bringing this bringing attention to a very important issue. So, like, damn, they're just clapping back at this guy.
I mean, we've seen it happen more than once, unfortunately, where players have made homophobic, transphobic comments, and it's, as much as we don't want it to be part of the game and part of hockey in general, it's going to be, because hockey players are people too, and they all have opinions. And yes, maybe, I don't know, I feel like they're just, sometimes they're not ones that need to be shared online, and that was just one of their cases. And I can tell you, like, there is literally, they all get handbooks at the beginning of the season, like, with all the information that they might ever need to survive, and one of those pages is like a 3-paragraph page on social media and how to properly use it, what you should and shouldn't post, how you should and shouldn't interact with fans, and just a ton of like pointers on your behavior online. And I think that that's so important for players to read and actually acknowledge and follow. And some of them, like, maybe don't, maybe they don't care, but this is kind of how those situations come up.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong. One of the tweets, so Kalamazoo actually tweeted back, or they quoted the tweet, and they said just like the peace sign, like, all right, get out of here. But then somebody also replied to that fan and put like a Detroit Tigers logo in the Pride colors. The thing I will say, though, and not to be in the same boat as these unaccepting fans and stuff like that, I thought, I don't know. I could put it up here, but I could also, it's not going to show up. We'll put the picture up. I'll take a screenshot of it. I thought the rainbow on the ice was like a little much.
I didn't even see that. In my opinion,
they painted the ice, which great, fine. That's cool. It's very accepting. But like when you're actually playing the game, like that's gotta be a little confusing. Like, I don't know about me, but like I would lose the puck in that rainbow. Like I'm trying to skate up the ice. Really and, yeah. Like, I don't know that's the only thing I have to say about it, but it, very definitely a cool gesture and cool addition. Now, if this is just projected, which I don't think it is, I'm pretty sure they painted it. If this is just a projection, like they do like at the Hawks game, that's cool. That's fine. It did not span the whole ice though, which is why I don't think this is a projection. They left the dots and lower like the crease area open. If the players got to practice on here though, at, you know, home ice, that might be a little bit of an advantage though. You know, if you think about it, like they know that their ice is painted like that, and they're going to leave the lower goal areas unpainted so that they could kind of still, have good opportunities down at the crease. But it's a very busy ice, so it would be like an international ice with all the ads all over it, I guess, is basically kind of what it can be equivalent to. I still can't find the tweet from the player, but he's getting definitely more than just a slap on the wrist for all that, and he definitely should have read that handbook like Hannah's saying, because I'm pretty sure, is he being asked to leave the team?
Yes, I think from what I understood, he was, they took away his ECHL contract, and then the S, what's the league under the ECHL? Is it the SPHL? I don't want to say
SPHL.
SPHL. The SPHL also said that they weren't going to welcome him, so.
Yeah.
That's kind of how you break your career, like with a single tweet.
Oh, I found it. Louis Rowe.
Yes.
He had a bunch of tweets, including there was a tweet that a school in Colorado was selling pride flag pins to students. And he's talking about like reproduction through grooming children. And that was literally what he said. And the tweet itself, I found it. Imagine marketing towards the bottom of the barrel of society. LMAO. What's next? Felony offender night. Like, Jesus, man. Like, that's not things that should be equivalated ever. It looks like he played for Sun Devil hockey. And then he was playing on the Comets. So, well, he has a picture of him on, I think this is him on the Comets. So he's in the E, but probably not for long after these comments.
On the Comets as in Utica?
Yeah. I'm sorry. What is that team? They play in the same league as the Indy Fuel.
ECHL.
Yeah. It's not the...
Comets.
ECHL. Research on the fly. ECHL Comets? Is it Fort Wayne? Yeah, Fort Wayne.
Oh, sure.
Fort Wayne Comets. K-O-M-E-T-S. Which... They have the gear as their logo and their orange. I don't think he'll be playing there for much longer though. After those kind of comments. This is a real tongue twister. But okay, we don't have to dwell too much longer on the negative news. Hopefully we'll have. Yeah.
I just didn't know. Like I didn't see any of this. I don't know anything about any of this. So I was just kind of sitting back and listening.
See all three of us on the screen. And then you just weren't popping up, so I felt like you.
Oh,
you were just.
Well, hopefully we will have some follow-up news next week on this situation. We can cover that and stay informed on that one. But we'll go over into. I actually want to jump to the Mason McTavish offsides rule. I'm not sure if either of you got to see this play. The explanation that was then given to me was a really good one. They equated this play to the play by Cale Makar in the playoffs against the Oilers last year, where it was not offsides because he was not actually touching the puck as he crossed the line. So the puck was just going like into the zone and players are allowed to tag up. It was a situation where the puck carrier isn't really the puck carrier because the puck isn't actually touching his stick. So the puck crosses the blue line. It's in the zone. Whoever is in the zone is allowed to tag up like baseball. So they come out. However, if that attacking player who is the quote unquote puck carrier touches that puck before the other player is able to tag up, then they'll blow the whistle and make it offsides. But in this situation, the guy tagged up, then the puck carrier touched the puck again, and then eventually this resulted in a goal. So people were thinking this would be offsides and it'd be called back. But if you read the rules, and I do think the rules should stay the same as they are, there was a whole breakdown on rule, is it like 83 point something? I forget the exact number, but I do agree. I think you should allow the game to play on in this situation, but I don't know. Jake looks like he wants to go the other route. What did you have to say about this one?
If you actually read the rules, the rule for offsides is if the puck cannot be in possession of somebody while, like, I don't remember the exact wording. The puck cannot cross the line before anybody else while somebody has possession. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so yeah. He did not touch that puck. And if it was a pass, I would totally agree. But he was the one that pushed it forward, and he still had control. He had possession of the puck. I personally think that is offsides. I think that is how the rules actually are. Because the actual rule of possession of puck in hockey is last person to like have touched it and you're not getting like pressured of it taken away, or like you're close. You know what I'm saying? Like the possession of it. Like he had possession. It's not like he dumped it in or there's a pass to him that, you know, like it's different if it's that way, but I truly think that goal should have been called off.
I can see what you're saying on this one. Now going back to that Cale Makar one from the playoffs last year, do you think that falls in the same boat as Makar had possession?
It's the possession thing. It's not like he's dumping it in. Like if he were to dump it in, that's different.
I thought the Makar one, I thought he had less possession and it was further out in front of him. So I can see why that one's allowed. He's skating to catch up to it. This one was closer. I will give you that. I do get the interpretation of the rule from the referees in this situation where they basically are ruling. I think it was a lot of the fact that the puck wasn't exactly on his stick and that there were defenders on him, but this one, it was a lot closer to him and to his stick. Whereas the Makar one, it was pushed so far forward that he had to catch up to it. There were other defenders that could have touched the puck next, although you're not going to when it's Cale Makar. He's going to beat you to it every single time. But with this one, I do see your point on it being a little bit closer of a call, especially like you could rule that as possession. But I like the idea of not stopping the game there and letting it play on and then maybe definitely going back and reviewing it later. I had mentioned I went to my buddy Rob's game last night, even in men's league, sometimes that whistle goes too quickly and the play doesn't get a chance to get played out. We saw it in the Winter Classic as well. There was an offsides call and that wasn't actually offsides that Boston was upset with. It was actually Brad Marchand that was super upset with that call because, in fact, you go back, it was not offsides and they blew it dead rather than letting the play out and then maybe going back and taking a look at it later. I understand from the NHL's perspective, they want that play dead because if you do let it play out and an injury happens and then you have to come back and call it back later, you're calling it back for like an insignificant offsides and in the meantime, like an injury happened. I mean, that's the worst thing that could happen. I mean, a goal, you could always just call that back and bring the play back. I guess that would change momentum of the game to have played those minutes that don't actually count. But that's when, you know, like when a goal gets scored and they don't call the goal initially, if they don't see it hit, like maybe it hit the back bar and it bounced right back out. That's when you see the light go on in the penalty box and Toronto calls it dead and they say, wait, we have a good goal. So they'll just stop the play then. So you don't even have to wait until the next whistle to review it. But like I said, I do like the idea of having it play out a little bit.
offside. So let me explain how this actually works. This situation is known as a delayed offside, where a player goes over the blue line before the puck. They can do what's often called checking up, where they get back, negating the offside. Interestingly, this rule works a little bit different than people expect it to. It's not about simply when the puck goes over the blue line. No, rule 83.3 actually says that the player has until, and I quote, any member of the attacking team touches the puck or attempts to gain possession of a loose puck. So the moment that you review the delayed offside call is when the puck carrier physically touches the puck with their stick. It's not about being in control or having possession or the puck just crossing the blue line. It's actually when the player touches the puck or when one of those other things happens. Those, by the way, aren't relevant in this situation. This wasn't a loose puck. The player was possessing it. Possession, as defined by the rulebook, is simply the last player who touched the puck. This was the right call, but it was just barely onside. If you watch, the player touches the puck before it goes over the blue line, then, through pretty much pure luck, doesn't touch it again until what looks like at least the Anaheim player's skate pierces the, what they call in the rulebook, leading edge of the blue line, the edge of the blue line closest to the net. Again, it's very close. They probably had better angles in Toronto, but you can't do what MSG did and just look at the puck crossing the blue line. That's not where either the offside crystallizes or not. It's when the carrier actually touches the puck. This is the exact same situation as the Kale McCarr call during the playoffs last year, which was also 100% the correct call. It's just a rule most people don't understand. This, however, is not the same as the McDavid situation earlier this year. That was a different rule. The delayed offside test wasn't involved there. That was 83.1, where it says a player controlling the puck who shall cross the line ahead of the puck shall not be considered offside, provided he had possession and control. You can see how the wording for that one is different, possession and control versus touch the puck. Now, should it be changed? I personally don't think so. I like the way the rule is now. I think broadcasters and these officials who go on broadcasts need to do a better job of explaining the rule because it ends up making people very frustrated. But you clearly can't change it to possession because that would remove situations where you dump the puck in and someone skates back. Again, possession is who touched the puck last. You could maybe change it to control, like 83.1, but I just think it works better this way.
Moving into our a little bit biased Chicago section, Alex Stalock did not practice Tuesday due to a non-COVID related illness. So that meant legendary E-Bug Scott Foster, emergency backup goalie, was in net for practice. But who also was in practice? Another Peter Cech hopped on the ice for the Blackhawks practice as well Tuesday and Wednesday. He's a former Chelsea FC goalkeeper. He decided to try on the pads and attempt goaltender. His best friend is actually Peter Mrazek, who is the other goalie for the Chicago Blackhawks. They were actually at a soccer indoor facility the day before in downtown Chicago, and the 40-year-old former soccer goalkeeper also plays goaltender in a second division ice hockey in England. Ice hockey league in England. So that was kind of cool to see. I guess Patrick Kane was back out on the ice taking some shots on him. Kane was back on the ice Tuesday and Wednesday for the Blackhawks. He had a lower body injury. It was his hip and had him missing three games. He did not play against Colorado. In those three games, the Blackhawks won all three, had nine goals from nine different players. And it almost looked like Patrick Kane was the rut that keeps them from winning, because when he did come back Saturday night, I was at the game against Seattle. Seattle continued their seven-game win streak on the road, which is they're the first team in NHL history to accomplish this. I believe they're also the first team, if you want to look at NBA stats as well, to win all seven games of a seven-game road trip. They continued that by winning an eighth game at home, so they're on an eight-game win streak. In that seven-game road trip, they beat Boston, who is on top right now. I did not have that one. I did not see that coming.
They shut them out.
They shut them out, too. That was that Thursday night? Yes, Thursday. And then that meant Saturday night they were playing the Hawks. They had six goals on the first seven shots of the game. Needless to say, Alex Stalock got pulled after four goals. He had only made one save. And then Peter Mrazek that came in?
No, other way around. Peter Mrazek started, Stalock came in.
Yes. Stalock did not make a save on the first two shots that came to him. Granted, that Burakovsky goal, oh my God, that was filthy. I'll post a clip of that one in here as well. That was a play from the corner, passed to a guy who then threaded it through a defenseman back towards, I mean, it was like a tic-tac-toe, but like in a line. Yeah, you just have to, that's the play you just got to watch. And he put it, that doesn't work if he's a right-handed shooter, because flipping the puck up near side and just going bar down. Well, I don't think he went bar down, but top shelf. That was crazy. But yeah, I don't, somebody had asked me if 6 goals on 7 shots to start the game is a record. I had not seen anything about that, but Seattle was definitely buzzing. They would win this game 8-5. So they had already won the game in the first period. McCann had his first ever NHL hat trick. And this is all after Patrick Kane comes back and Lucas Reichel gets sent down, even though they said that he was going to be staying up with the club even after Patrick Kane comes back. So Hannah, you're our Blackhawks expert. You've been at pretty much all these games except for that Saturday game I just covered. What have you seen from them in the week and what is going on with this team?
Yeah, so honestly, was very thrown off by Lucas Reichel getting sent back down, because the game previously, or after he scored his first goal, Luke Richardson specifically said that this wasn't a flash, that he was going to be on the roster for more of a longer period this time rather than that one game that he was sent up because of an illness. But seeing him get sent down was just so out of the blue, and nobody expected that out of the reporters that I'm close with. I think that definitely could have played a role in that. But Luke Richardson did say after postgame on Saturday that none of them were ready to play. And I mean, you could tell with the way that the game goes, 6 goals on the first 7 shots, or right? That's what it was.
Yeah.
Obviously you're not there. You're simply not on the ice for that. Like, you're on the ice, but your brain, something's going on. Just now they're tweeting that they're having a very long discussion post-practice with obviously head coach Luke Richardson and then the leadership team in Taves and Kane leading that conversation. And I'm sure the doors to the locker room are closed for a long period of time after Saturday's game. And that's kind of that loss where you really have to step back and figure out, yes, this is a tank season, and yes, you aren't making it to the playoffs and you're not going to be winning games as much as you'd like to. But after a loss like that, that's really where you take a step back and kind of relook at your system and maybe switch some lines up and figure out what works best, because obviously it was not what was going on Saturday.
Yeah, Luke Richardson was definitely a quote machine right after, which is what Charlie Remeliotis had tweeted out, that after that upsetting loss on Saturday. We did get another first NHL goal on Saturday. It came right at the start of the second period. It was, and Isaac, forgive me, Isaac Phillips. Thank you. coming in clutch there, because I was like, wait, I have it in here, but I didn't throw it in the notes. So I'm forgetting the name. So we did see that one live. Emma was nice enough to buy tickets to Saturday's game. So we went out. I woke up from a 4-hour nap and I was like, you know what? I've gone to all the other games that the Seattle Kraken have been to the UC. So might as well go to this one too. So it was a fun time. Kettle One Club was cool as always. And I actually went upstairs in the FanDuel Sportsbook. I didn't know you could go upstairs. I knew there was one, but we went upstairs and it was like a VIP lounge up there, which is actually what that level is called, the VIP level. And that level is even nicer. And I don't think as many people know about it. So that was very cool. So
I haven't been in there yet.
It's really nice.
I heard it's nice. They actually did like a media tour for it over the summer, but I think I was either out of town that day or like had something going on, so I wasn't able to make it, but I'll have to check it out at some point for sure.
Absolutely. You might've been in Seattle. If you were on vacation, but not too far from Seattle is Vancouver. They beat Carolina in a shootout the other day. Brock Besser with the shootout winner struggles in Carolina. And after that, Peter Kochekov gets sent back down to Chicago to the Wolves. So, I don't know. What Wolves fans, what do we have to say about this?
I'm happy he's back. I like him, but It wasn't Brock Besser that scored that goal. It was Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, that last one.
Yeah.
Oh, I got an alert that said Brock Besser.
Brock Besser, I think.
Oh, he tied it going into with
17 seconds left.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely not the outcome that I expected from that game. But it is what it is.
Carolina. Carolina struggling.
As a Wolves fan, though, as a Wolves fan, I am excited that he's back.
Yeah.
It'll definitely make going to games more fun.
The struggles were not just from Peter Krejcikov. Their other goalie, Craig Anderson. Frederick Anderson. Am I remembering the wrong game here? Was that the game against Pittsburgh that they had that wacky batting goal?
I mean, he was definitely making an attempt for a shutout there, and he was so close. And then that one goal, he tried to bat it out with a stick and it totally backfired on him. And he knew. I don't even think the coaches like had anything to say, because he owned up to it for sure. And then on the broadcast, actually, Tripp Tracy, who is their analyst, said immediately that like this is a goal where you either embrace it and like own up to your mistake and shut the door, in terms of like you brush it off and keep going, or this is a goal that breaks the game, in terms of like the goalie knows that he made that mistake and then is just broken for the rest of the game. Not broken, but like, you know, he's living with that burden, so to say. So he totally just brushed it off and got the win, and it's good for him. Two wins in a row in his two games back. So
yeah. And struggles for Pittsburgh, as they've lost two of their last, or they've lost all but two of their last 10. So that's tough. They're definitely not the Seattle Kraken, who have won 8 games in a row and I believe 9 of their last 10, and they've got 15, I want to say 15, 5 different players have 15. No, I have that backwards. 15 players have 5 points in this stretch, and every single forward had a point by the end of the first period in that game against Chicago on Saturday, which as a Chicago fan was tough to watch, but it's all right. I wore this thing. I only got one comment on it. It was the split the pot guy. He told Emma, he's like, you better make sure this guy buys all the drinks. Would you find him in the parking lot? Cause I was wearing a Kane jersey, but I was wearing this. So I looked like the most confused person, but it's fitting, cause I was a crackhead.
I also want to add that this is the first time in franchise history that the Carolina Hurricanes have swept a series against Pittsburgh.
Wow.
So that's big.
That is huge. You would think it happened more often than playing each other so much, but definitely a first there.
There was a stretch where I felt like every night they were playing the Penguins. I was like, when do you guys end? When does this come to an end? Like, I'm tired of watching them.
Well, I think the Capitals feel the same way. They've lost 2 games in a row back-to-back to a really bad Philadelphia Flyers team. The only highlights were that Ovi reached his 30th goal. He reaches the 30th goal mark for the 17th season and ties Mike Gartner for the NHL record. So that was good for Ovi. But going back to goalie struggles. Oh, and I also want to clarify for just the audio listeners. I don't mean I'm a crackhead as in like drugs. I mean, crack as in K-R-A-K-E-N, Kraken, crackhead. Yeah. So yeah, before I get called out on that one. But goalie struggles, trickled over into, Vegas as well. Logan Thompson had one go in from center when they were playing the Senators. So that was a tough one. We'll post the video from that one. And then I don't know if either of you got a chance to catch this North Carolina goal versus Virginia Tech. The guy was like falling and put it in with his backhand. Rat, did you see that one?
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of like one of Ovi's goals that like where he got tripped over and he was like on his back rolling over like a dog with his
that one against Arizona.
Got it with his stick.
I saw this morning that was however many years ago today.
What a coincidence. Huh?
Almost to the date. Yeah, that was the Ovi goal against Phoenix back when they were Phoenix. Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. And that goalie for Virginia Tech, man, that's a tough one to let in. Just close your legs a little more. You almost had it.
He like fell over and like he's in a butterfly, and then the guy's like diving away, and he like doesn't like, as a goalie, you don't really expect him to be able to make contact with that puck, and he made some good contact. Yeah. And he was getting up and just let him five. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Speaking of Logan Thompson, if I can also add, I think when we talked last week, he was still one of the top candidates for the Calder Trophy. He was one of the ones being talked about most. And he, since last week, he's fallen off. He's not even in the top five anymore.
Yikes. So,
that top five has changed significantly since the last time we recorded.
One goal from center may do that to you, but they also lost against McDavid and the Oilers. McDavid and the Oilers had a big week. McDavid had 3 points in a 7-1 win over San Jose, and that was on his birthday. Previously, before that, though, even he, on his 35th goal of the season, he had a filthy spinorama move, and he just put that one in backhand top shelf. That was sick. But I think the biggest thing to come out from Edmonton this week, despite all their winning, has been McDavid's socks. Have you seen the holes in the socks? I mean, everybody has their superstition, but man, we'll post a picture. These socks, would you wear these? Would anybody wear these?
It's not there.
Yeah, those are kind of disgusting.
Those are like leg warmers at that point. Like, what do they really do?
Right, there's like no front to that sock. I don't even like when there's a tiny little hole on the bottom of my sock, and then it's my skin sticks to my shoe. Like,
my gosh, that can't even be like hygienic.
Yeah,
like, that's so nasty. I'm sorry.
Some superstitions just gotta go, man. Maybe that's why he's so fast out there, though, is because he's not wearing a full sock. He's a little bit lighter.
Could be.
And then my last point, well, before I get to my last point, we did have an awesome, if you didn't get a chance to catch this, go back and watch it. The Boston and Toronto game Saturday night. I was at the Hawks game, of course, but I was seeing the highlights, especially during the intermission, was when things were ramping up in the third. There was a fight between Simmons and Nick Foligno and Wayne Simmons. That was a really cool fight from former teammates. They both patted each other on the head, respected each other after that one. Boston still gets the last laugh with Toronto with a 4-3 win. And it was 3-3 for the longest time. This game had everything, though. This game had a phenomenal save robbery on Brad Marchand, another save on the other end of the ice from Swayman, some animosity between the two teams before and after the fight. Somebody thought they had gotten slew-footed. Just goals galore. 7 goals were scored in this game. And it was 3-3 for the longest time. So Matthews scored a beauty. Near side top shelf, similar to the one that Burakovsky scored, but instead Matthews did it all himself in this game. So quite the game. Go check that out. It seemed like playoff hockey, and that would be nice to see a matchup between those two come playoff time. Other than that, the Lightning revealed new jerseys. They have like a skull head on them. I love these things. I don't know if you guys saw them or what you thought about them. I love them. It's kind of like a mix of the Buccaneers and the Lightning, which is fitting because the Bucks are in the playoffs. We didn't even go into football talk, but I guess we can do that as, you know, the Super Bowl gets closer. And I may have an interview for this podcast with a friend of mine who is a diehard football fan and knows his stuff for the most part. He's been spot on with all his picks. So I may jump into that with him, but yeah, I'm speeding through these NHL points quickly just because I know Rat's got to go and we want to get to the pond of the pod. But did any of you have any last minute notes from NHL or anything that I missed?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I can breathe. All right, let's jump on over to pond of the pod. Let me go ahead and allow you to share the screen here. That should be working for you now. Go for it.
Cool. Pound on the pod, we have a Swedish rink. I don't know how to say the city or whatever it's called. I'm gonna say Umeå. That's my guess. Umeå or something. I don't know. But it's a rink in Sweden. In this picture, it looks like it's got like some outdoor skating, and then it's like a little dome on the inside. It's like a I don't even know how to explain it. I remember seeing a word for it, or the green roofed hockey rink. That's what it's called. It's inside. It's cool. And then you got the outside little ponds for those skating around, like we've done in the past. And it looks like it's got some stairs for people. It looks like they're sledding and everything like that. It looks very interesting. And I would love to play here. This would be sick. It looks awesome. I wonder how far this is from Ronnie and if he's ever been here before.
That is really cool. It almost looks like an amphitheater. Like, it almost looks like a Coachella-esque, or even what they have at the Schaumburg Town Square, you know, that those little steps over there, but on a much bigger scale here and a much cooler scale. I mean, that structure in the back with the glass for the indoor rink, that's kind of cool too.
Yeah, I mean, maybe like play a game on the indoor rink and then have everyone that's watching skate on the outside rink, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what we got today for Pound on the Pod. You guys want to add anything? No.
I got nothing. That was pretty cool.
All right.
Hannah, did you have something?
No, just aside from the fact that we have to take a field trip.
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
I think as a podcast, we got to go out and visit Ben in Belgium and kind of explore around and see some stuff.
We're definitely banking some interviews then.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah.
Cool. Very cool. Before I get to missing the mark, I do want to just quickly mention, be sure to tune in 5 to 6 p.m. On Tuesdays, Mike on the Mic, that's Central Time for any of you listeners. You can find the link to listen at sportstownchicago.com and just hit the listen tab and it'll take you right to that. Or you can download the TuneIn Radio app and search up Sportstown Chicago. You can listen to me. I will be talking all Chicago sports and also NFL playoffs going on right now. And then more news to come in the future. Also, the SHL draft. It's coming soon. I am working on the rosters for eligible players. I'll be talking to both captains on who they want in this draft and being able to post the stats. So look for that. I know I had gotten some questions about when that's coming. It should be in early February, but no date set just yet. I know it's halfway through January, but we will get to you as soon as it's a weekly podcast. We'll get that news out to you guys. We're recording on Monday, January 16th. So for missing the mark, I've got some Tuesday notes for you. We're going to be taking Washington over Minnesota. And I know everybody's like, what? What do you mean? Well, Washington just dropped 2 to Philadelphia. So I'm thinking they're going to want to get a win. We've also got Winnipeg over Montreal. Let's see. I'm not taking, even though it looks like a clear cut winner with Detroit over Arizona, Detroit always sewers me. So that's not going to happen. And I'm also not taking anything in the Seattle Kraken versus Edmonton game because Edmonton's been on a tear, but Seattle's on their 8-game win streak. So I don't want to jinx anybody. I may just watch this game though, see how it all plays out. Chicago also plays tomorrow against the Buffalo Sabres. I'm taking the Sabres. I think they will take this one. This is home, though. This continues the Blackhawks' home stretch until they go back on the road. So another home game, but I think it's another home loss. Moving into Wednesday, Tampa Bay over Vancouver, 100%. I know Vancouver got that shootout win that we mentioned, but I think Tampa Bay is still too tough of a team. This one is in Vancouver, though, so it's going to be close. Pittsburgh and Ottawa, I'm not going to take that one because, like I said, Pittsburgh is 2-10 in their last 10, or 2-8 in their last 10, and Ottawa is neck and neck as far as schedule goes. Boston over New York, the Islanders, I think that's a pretty self-explanatory one. I will take Colorado over Calgary. Now that McKinnon is back, Colorado has been buzzing, and they just won a game, I believe, was it 7-0 the other night? So take Colorado, even though Calgary, this should be a playoff matchup. Honestly, they both similar results in their schedule, both have 21 wins. So they're neck and neck, but I do like Colorado in this one. This one is in Calgary though. So if you're the type to take the home team on this stuff, Calgary may have an edge there. Dallas versus San Jose. We're taking Dallas. Jason Robertson to get a point. Going back to that Tuesday game with Edmonton and Seattle, I would take McDavid and Draisaitl to both score, as I usually do, both have a point, as I usually do. Just that's the only thing I'd be taking on that Tuesday night game. Thursday, we've got a couple of games here, but most of them are close. Boston has not lost two games in a row all year. If they were going to lose a game, though, the New York Rangers have been on a tear. They've been 13-2-2. That may be old news. They may have won another game since then, but since playing the Hawks and having that tantrum that we talked about here on the podcast, so they're buzzing. Bruins, though, are the Bruins. I'm not going to take anybody in this game. I want to see how this one plays out to see if I'm betting on the Bruins the next game. Let's see what else we got here. Nothing else that that really jumps out at me that I like. Washington and Arizona. I am going to take Washington in this one again. I know I say Arizona always sewers me, especially because it's at Mullet Arena, but Washington's been on a tear so far, and I'm only taking it because Hannah brought up the fact that it's been X amount of years, almost to the date that Ovi scored that goal against the Coyotes. So we're going to see if he can score again here. If you're not taking them to win, definitely take Ovi to have a goal in this one. He just hit the 30 goal mark, and I don't think he's going to be stopping. He's still chasing that Gretzky record. Golden Knights over the Red Wings on Thursday night. I'm taking that one. Let's see what else we have in here. Everything is really close Thursday night, even Chicago and Philadelphia. And that one's on the road in Philly. I don't like Chicago's odds. And I think either way I would bet in this one, it'd be too much as a fan. So I'm not going to take that one. We'll get into Friday, which is our last set of games here. I am going to take Ottawa over Pittsburgh, even though this is in Pittsburgh. I guess the theme of this week is I'm taking the away teams. Just because of how bad Pittsburgh has been so far, I don't see them making a bounce back, and not against an Ottawa Senators team that has kind of picked it up as of late. So you can fade me on this one. That may be the one to fade me on, but if you're going to ride with me, I think Ottawa over Pittsburgh, even in Pittsburgh. And then the only other game on Friday night is Colorado versus Vancouver. And like I said, we're still taking Colorado. McKinnon to have a point. That is what I have for missing the mark this week, and I hope I kept it a little bit shorter. I am going to actually throw in on all of these games this week. I've decided. So I will admit, on some weeks I have not thrown in on all the games that I've talked about, either because I've forgotten come the day of, or just because of the fact that I kind of wanted to see how good my picks were. And now I'm riding with it all the way. So that's about it. Do you guys have any last minute notes that you want to add?
No, I think that's it. I think I do want to add one more thing, but this is more for us. I think we need to get Hannah a little segment like we have, you know.
Oh, definitely.
Do you got to miss the mark? You got to get Hannah something, you know.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah,
definitely. We got to come up with something. For me, the betting segment, I just kind of inherited that, and as I passed on the pond of the pod to you, and I'm not the best bettor, and I will admit it. But if you guys want to ride with me, I do claim to know my NHL, and I think I do. So when it comes to those games, I'd trust myself to be enough to throw money on that kind of stuff. But yeah, we got to get Hannah. Well, she is our insider when she goes to games and stuff like that. We can always start posting her interviews if that's applicable. If that's allowed.
In Russian.
Yeah. It's in Russian though.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll have to come up with something. I like that idea.
We'll figure it out.
Definitely. Cool. All right. Well, this has been another awesome episode of Talking Pylons. You can find us on all of your podcast streaming platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you name it, we're on it. YouTube, Talking Pylons Podcast. We're also on Instagram, so go give us a follow over there. I think this week I'm going to make a Twitter account for this as well. I think we should be on all social media platforms. I don't have TikTok, though, so maybe one of you guys can throw up a TikTok. We'll have to talk about that. We want to be diverse and get on all these platforms. And I know I've been marketing myself and my own stuff a little too much lately. So we gotta push for the pod here. But yeah, I got nothing.
Sweet.
Cool. Have a great week, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Thanks to Ronnie for jumping on too.
Absolutely.
He was cool.
Yeah.
He's a character.
Love First him. International guest.
I've heard a lot about him, but it was cool to meet him. So.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool.
Good stuff.
All right, guys. Well, we will be back with more interviews next week. We got a whole slew of them, and we will talk to you soon. I don't know what we even have planned for this week. It's kind of a low-key week.
Yeah, I actually have something for this week. I'm going to
Rockford game.
Yeah, I'm going to Rockford on Saturday for a charity men's league game, and I'm going to Rockford Ice Hogs versus Chicago Wolves that night as well. But yeah, we have a charity game with one of my buddies, and I can't wait to play. We're playing at BMO Harris Arena too, so it's gonna be a pretty cool experience for sure.
Hey, when is this Saturday?
Saturday.
Double header, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
I think I will also get them. So.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. I have to double check what I'm. Oh, I will not be there. I have a dinner. I have a banquet. Oh.
I've been strongly considering. I have a lack of Wolves hockey the last several weeks as they're on the road for almost the entirety of January. So I think that's going to be the move for Saturday night. Although that drive, I'm not a huge fan of.
Yeah, definitely not going into Rockford. Rockford is not exactly the place you want to be.
No, I said I will... I think after last season, I went there once and I was like, never again. And now I'm like, okay, maybe.
One more time. I do love that arena though. The BMO Harris Center.
It is nice. I just don't like everything outside of the arena. I also like, it throws me off that they have like a smoking balcony. I'm like, oh.
Good old Rockford.
I guess. And then their mascot just freaks me out. Like, I'm not scared of mascots. I've actually grown to love them, but their mascot is
gotcha.
That's all I'll say.
Well, you guys will have to let me know how that goes. I won't be there Saturday, but the rest of the podcast crew will hopefully be there, and we'll get to talk about it on next week's episode
for sure.
All right, thanks again everyone for tuning in. Go follow us on all those platforms I mentioned. Get up to Rockford on Saturday to see these two, and we will see you next week.
All right.
So,
those days are gone. Now the memories on the wall. I hear the songs from the places where I was born. Upon a hill across the blue lake, that's where I have a first heartbreak. Child, she has got a plan for you. Don't you worry now.